Thank you, Brother David. Our scripture lesson today comes from Romans chapter 6. That's on, I believe, page 1754 there in the Pew Bibles. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 21, for the sermon titled, Really Free. And I got to tell you, it's been a hard week for me. I've had to work every night. I've been on night shift this week, six nights, working from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m., and then trying to get up and function. And then we went to the rescue mission on Monday night, and it was not a good night. We had a rough go of it. I had one fellow stand up, or not stand up, he wouldn't stand up, but flat out tell me he wasn't getting up because he didn't believe in God. Now, two people started to emerge from your pastor. One was the one who wanted to keep on preaching, and the other was the big hillbilly that wanted to go down there and just doink right between his eyes and see if I could get his brain to restart. The sermon today is called Really Free, and we go from Romans chapter 6. And so I question, are we really free? Should we be really free? Here are the words that Paul wrote to the Romans. Starting in the 15th verse, slaves to righteousness. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you used to be slaves to sins. You wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of the righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from these things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Would you please pray with me? Father, we look for you at this moment. We ask the Holy Spirit to be even stronger now that we've been woken up. We've heard the songs, we've sang to you, and now we're ready for the meat. We're ready for the words that come from you, Father, not me. And we ask that you lift us up in this time, that we may grow from this, that we may go out into the fields and work, that we may be strengthened for the trials that are yet to come this week, that we may be ready to witness at a moment's notice, that we may be doing exactly what we're dependent on you for. We ask, Father, that we set aside our labors until we leave this sanctuary, this place of rest, and we strengthen ourselves in the Word. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name, and all of his children said, Amen. So today we consider the word free. 4th of July just went past yesterday. Everybody walking around, freedom, 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 freedom. And I'm all about that. But we consider the word free. How many times it's used? How do you like the slogan, buy one, get one free? That's not really free, is it? It gets me every time. I see something come on the television set or on the news. on the radio. Hey, come on down here. Buy one, get one free. Man, that's a deal right there. I didn't need two of them, but man, that's free. Is it really free? Not really. I like those words that come across all the salesmen. Free! Big words, little words, for a limited time. Special offer. If you come in now and you sign up with this contract for the next 2 years, we'll give you the first 6 months free, but we won't give you everything that you're supposed to get. And you see the word free, and, well, that makes sense to me. Free! Everybody likes free stuff. And for coming in today, just today, we'll give you a free whatever. Here's a lamp that we're going to give you today for free because you came to our dealership today. Here's a lamp. And you see this lamp? It costs us 99 cents shipped over from China. See this thing? When you turn the light on, the light lamps. The lamp lights. Lights, come on, isn't it amazing? You get the same thing in the store and you don't have to buy a car for it. But today, the word free. Banks used to give away free toasters. Remember that? People tried to figure that thing out. How to get a free toaster from this bank to this bank to this bank. But you've got to put money in. You got to do something with it. You got to pay a service charge. That toaster ain't free. And boy, this statement. This is the one that haunts me until I leave this mortal coil. This is the one that will always destroy me. Paul, man, come over and get this free tractor. It used to run. Sure, yeah, free. You're giving me a tractor. And I walk around, chest all puffed out like a banty rooster. I got a free tractor. You see that thing sitting right there? Yeah, that's a free tractor. It needs tires, but it was free. And the back wheel's bad, but it was free. And I haven't got it running yet, but it was free. And $9,000 later, look at my free tractor, how it runs with new tires and paint and a radiator and a seat. And it really wasn't free, was it? And I am so stupid, I fall for that all the time. Free means not under the control or in the power of another, able to act or be done as one wishes. Are we really free? Not physically restrained, obstructed, or fixed, unimpeded, without cost or payment, released from captivity, confinement, or slavery. Are we really free? Should we be really free? It's an interesting thought. How do we look at freedom? I want to introduce you to a man. His name is David Phillips. He was born in 1964. He has become one of my new heroes. Because David Phillips is also known as the pudding guy. Anybody known as the pudding guy, I want to be friends with him. You see, David got smart. He's a pretty educated fella. He's a professor in some university out in California. And he teaches economics, funnily enough. And he calculated out this little thing that was going on back in 1999 where Healthy Choice offered frequent flyer miles for every one of their products you bought. That's pretty neat, ain't it? Nobody ever reads the fine print, but this feller did. And in that fine print, he read, not only can you get 500 free miles of air travel for every 10 of those little UPC things you turn in, if you turn them in within this period of time, we'll double them. So he did a little research and he found a discount grocery chain that was selling Healthy Choice chocolate pudding cups, chocolate, at 25 cents a cup. Each one of those cups gives you 500 free miles or 1,000. And so he bought all of them. He went to 10 different grocery stores. He told people he was stocking up for Y2K, had them order the things in, and started taking the UPC labels off and found that he wasn't going to make the deadline to get the free air miles. And so what did he do? He is smart. He called the Salvation Army. He said, I'll tell you what. If your people come help me get these little UPC symbols off, I'll give you all the food for free. And so they did. And he was able to, in 1 month, or in the allotted time, are you ready? By buying pudding, He was able to generate 1.5 million free air miles. And that's great. And you know what else? He got an $850 tax credit for giving away the pudding. It was free. And he's still doing it to this day. He's figuring these things out. But it cost. It cost him about $3,000 to buy all that pudding for a million plus air miles. They go all over the world for free. So I ask you a question. I want you to answer me. Was that truly free? No. I don't really believe there's a lot in this world, that is truly free. I am excited to know that there is a fella out there like David Phillips. I am going to figure that one out. Because although I don't really go anywhere, sometime in the not too distant future, as you well know, this past Wednesday, Wendy and I celebrated 15 years of a wedding, of being married, and people said she ought to get a medal. And she's not here this Sunday. You notice that? She's down at Harmony Church at her brethren because she didn't want to hear anything about it. But we never had a honeymoon, and I've always felt that the best place for a man and a woman to honeymoon in the entire world would be to spend a week at the Henry Ford Museum. There's a lot of women in here going, I need to figure that out. Freedom is not free. We are not really free. Listen, 56 men signed that Declaration of Independence. And I'm telling you right now, if you ever get the chance to go see the real one, do it. Stand in front of a document that 56 men gave up their freedom to sign. Their conviction resulted in untold sufferings for themselves and families. Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British and tortured until they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia was a wealthy planter and trader and had his ships sunk by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debt and died in property. At the Battle of Yorktown, British General Cornwallis took over Thomas Nelson's home for his headquarters. Thomas Nelson went behind the lines to see General George Washington and said to him, "Sir, open fire on my home." The home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside while she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and mills were destroyed. He lived in forests and caves, only returning after a year to find everything gone, children, family, everything, and a few weeks later died of exhaustion. Those were the 56 men that signed our freedom. We're not really free. And that's all right. Jesus Christ has shown us that we are not really free. How do we know that? Well, we read what Paul wrote in Romans. He lays it out right there. He said, let me tell you what. You've never been free. Because if you were unsaved before Jesus Christ, you were a slave to your own thoughts, your own sins, and your own desires. Say amen. I know I was, and I'm telling you, do I know that there's still a little piece of me that is a slave to myself? Yes. It's called the chocolate wonderfall at Golden Corral. I hate that thing. They still won't let me put bacon in it. But Jesus lays it out. Paul, writing about him, says, we're not free. Oh, we're free from sin by believing in him. But by taking up him in our hearts, we have forever done what? Chained ourselves to him. Linked ourselves to him. Taken him on as the director and author and guide of our life. And that's something that is forgotten today. And I'm telling you, I'm still a little bit wound up over the past 2 weeks. I've been trying to keep it level. But I'm going to tell you, I've been mad. Some of the foolishness that this country has come itself into is making me crazy. And I'm sorry for it. And I'm sad for it. And we're going to pay for it. And Jesus Christ said, believe in me. A lot of people claim that, well, he said, as long as you believe in me, you're okay. No! John chapter 8. What did he say to the woman caught in adultery? He said, go your way and what? Sin no more. We ain't remembered that part. Paul, writing in his letter to the Romans, said, for you were slaves to being sinful. You allowed your desires and your body to lead you. Therefore, you were stuck to that. He said, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, be it your body, translation Satan, or be it to Jesus Christ? Were we really free? No. And why don't we remember that? Because we have fallen behind, brothers and sisters. Sometimes it's easier to just kind of draw in a little bit. Alex D. Tocqueville, I know I got that wrong, wrote in 1831, I sought for the greatness of the United States and her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, and boundless forests. It was not there. I sought it for her in rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand that the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. The writers, Patrick Henry, once said that this country is not founded on the freedom of religion. This country is founded on the principles of Christ Jesus. And when we step away from it, we forever fall from the trail. Amen. Amen. We're not really free. But that's okay. Once you come to understand it and accept it, I am not a free man anymore. I am not the person that I am allowed to be. I'm not allowed to do certain things. I'm certainly not allowed to drink anymore. I'm certainly not allowed to cuss anymore. I am certainly not allowed to act up and push out with my violent tendencies anymore. If I was free, I'd be able to do that. But I'm not. And do you know what? I thank my Lord and Savior every day that He controls this life. Amen. That's how we need to start acting, brothers and sisters. We need to start listening to what Paul wrote to the Romans. We need to understand that when people walk around clamoring freedom, yeah, there is freedom, and it comes with a heavy, heavy responsibility. We're responsible for making sure that we realize what it truly is. It is the freedom to follow that. To be absolutely free means to give without return of expectations. In my estimation, in all of time, there has only been one person who was truly free. He walked freely to that cross. He died freely on that cross for you and for me with no expectations. That was it. I submit that we are not free and we should ever be so dependent. This country should not have the freedom we have without the absolute reliance and dependence on Jesus Christ. Thomas Huxley, in 1902, in his address on university education, had these words, and I love it. A man's worst difficulties begins when he is able to do as he likes. He said that about men. Now, women, you guys are just as crazy as we are. When I go to the grocery store, I have a list. If I don't have a list, we've got a problem. Because if I don't have a list in front of me and I'm walking along and Wendy says, hey, stop at the grocery store, get a loaf of bread and some milk. No problem. She never does that anymore. Because if all I've got to get is a loaf of bread and milk, I'm walking along, hey, that's a good deal on shrimp. Ooh, look, steak, that's cheap. Well, we'll just get a little bit of these. Pretty soon I'm walking out with a cart with $300 worth of food in it. And $200 of it is ice cream. Man left to his own devices. A man's worst difficulties begin when he is able to do as he likes. You've heard the old joke, right, about the preacher's wife who came home. The preacher was there in the study, and she says, I got something to show you. And she goes in and gets dressed and comes back. She'd been out shopping, has on this flaming red dress. And he takes one look at that thing. He goes, woman, how much did you spend on that? She goes, I spent a lot. She said, I saw that thing and I just knew I had to have it. He said, why didn't you tell Satan to get behind you? She said, I did. And Satan said, looks pretty good from back here too. We're all guilty of it. We all get lost in what we want to do. I make that statement all the time. I'll do what I want to do, when I want to do it, the way I want to do it, for as long as I want to do it. And you know how that works out for me? Never. Thankfully. Because I am not free. We return back yet again to Romans. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Let me explain to you what that line means. And if you're looking for it, that's verse 18. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Do you understand what that means? That means you pay attention to what you're doing. That means you take the responsibility of being free from sin carefully and seriously and monitor everything. Does that mean you're always going to be sinless? No. I hate to break it to you, but if anybody in this room thinks that you are a sinless person, see me after church. I'll straighten you out. Because as far as I know, I am perfect. That's what I tell Wendy. And you know what she says? Get away from me. It's important to understand that this country was built. This country was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Don't you let anybody tell you different. Cicero said, we are in bondage to the law in order that we may be free. The law is Jesus Christ. Our own Declaration of Independence reads these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Those among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. A little further down says, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, and at the very end, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Divine providence. How simple it would be if we would start paying attention to it. It is the day that we remember this country. I'm going to try to give some honor to this saying, although I won't be able to. There was a 2-1 decision in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in the United States that said the phrase, one nation under God and the pledge of allegiance to a government endorsement of religion and is in violation of separation of church and state, as set forth by the U.S. Constitution. There's been a lot of public outcry to that. It hasn't happened yet. Many of you know the comedian Red Skelton. I dare say pretty near everybody in here does. I know because, well, I never really saw him. I saw the repeats and reruns and heard him on the radio, and my father and grandfather had records of him. And they used to play those records and laugh like they were insane, and I could never figure out the humor. And now that I'm much more seasoned, I get it, and it's funny. And perhaps you've heard this before, perhaps you haven't. But in January 14th, 1969, he went on the end of his television program, and he did the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States. He said, "This is what the pledge means to me." He said, "When I was a small boy in the seventh grade at Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana, I remember one teacher, principal of the school. To me, he was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time. He had such wisdom. We were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance and he walked over. Mr. Laswell was his name. He was a short little man, wore his hat tight on his head. And he said, 'I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems to me as though it is becoming monotonous to you. And if I may I recite it and try to explain the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all my worldly good to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and devotion. To the flag, our standard, Old Glory, a symbol of courage. And wherever she waves, there is respect because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. Of the United, that means we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided by imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common cause, and that's love of country, of America. And to the republic, a sovereign state, in which power is invested, and to the representatives chosen by the people to govern, and the government is the people, and it's only from the people to the leaders, and not the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so many, blessed by God. Indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power for one to live his one life without fears, threats, or any sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle and qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all. That means, boys and girls, it is much your country as it is mine. And then he said, "Now let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the pledge: under God." Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said, "That is a prayer," and that be eliminated from our schools and our lives too? We're not free. We enjoy freedom. We enjoy the ability to do what we do. But we are not free. And we'd be well to remind ourselves that we need to be dependent. We need to remind ourselves every day that we live and breathe on this earth because God saw fit to make it so, and that our death is gone, that our healing, that our health, that our righteousness in an eternal land not so far away, was given to us by Jesus Christ, our Savior. No other way will we ever find a way to heaven except through Him. Because of that, brothers and sisters, we are not free. And proudly, proudly, we should be. Now I ask you all to stand. And I ask you all to remind yourselves that freedom is not free. And as you say each one of these words, think about that. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. No, we're not really free. Happily so. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that in the symbol of the American flag, that in the borders of this country, we are eternally reminded of something even greater, that Jesus Christ is everything. There is nothing greater. That we exist here because God blessed us. We are able to openly speak here of Christ because He died for us. And we do well to remember that and tell everyone. Strengthen us so that we can, Father, whether it's on a phone, sitting next to someone on an airplane, leading someone to their destination in town. We need to remind ourselves that we are not free because we have absolute, complete dependence on Jesus Christ, whom you so lovingly gave to us, the truest and only free thing that has ever been given, fully, with no expectations. The song says, "I come to adore you." We know why. The words are, "Just as I am." That's how you took us, Father. We thank you and we ask that you lift these words up to our heart. Bless them to our understanding and give them to us for strengthening this week. In Jesus' precious name, all of us, amen.